Hello and welcome to League of Casters, where we go over all things nerdy for your convenience and entertainment. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the League of Casters, my podcast for the League of Slayers YouTube channel. This episode is going to be a collage of multiple things. There's going to be a bit of me rambling in here, there's going to be a bit of me and a friend rambling, and as well there's going to be a review of Mockingjay Part 2 that I did with a friend of mine. If you didn't know, it's the newest Hunger Games movie. The friend I did the review with, he does a lot of content on SoundCloud, so I'm going to play a little bit from a song sample that he sent me, and then, as well, the link for his SoundCloud account is in the description, should you like to go check it out. So, go ahead and give it a listen. Thank you. And that was a song by my good friend Austin. Hello, Austin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm awesome. Decent enough, I guess. He has a SoundCloud account. The link for that is going to be in the description. What is your name on SoundCloud, though?
My name is Austin S. Ross. You can find me under Austin S. Ross. But my username that goes in the URL would be Okeetree, I think.
Okeetree. All right. Austin S. Ross, Okeetree. All right. Now, I brought you on the show today. I've told you a little bit, but we're going to be talking about Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games.
Part 2, Mockingjay.
I love that series.
Have you read the books?
All of them.
Okay. Oh, man. So we saw it, like, what, probably 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
Yeah. We took our time getting around to recording this. So, yeah. Anyway, So first thing I want to talk about is, how do you think it matched up with the books?
Well, it's been a long time since I read Mockingjay, but for me, it seemed like everything synced up pretty well. The only things I could think of, as it's really more in terms of part one as well as part two, is the parts that weren't directly from Katniss's perspective. Because if you remember in the books, you know, it's all from Katniss's consciousness, and she's narrating in the first person.
I mean,
one of the things I liked about the books was that you were hearing Katniss's perspective as things happened. It was in first person in real time. It wasn't in the past tense. It was in the present tense, which was interesting and unique.
Honestly, I think that is an aspect that is taken away from the movie, but I think they kind of make up for that with showing the sort of behind the scenes stuff in the Capitol.
Yeah,
Snow. I loved that. And like, I think the second movie is when they really started it.
Yes. Seeing President Snow, that was one of my
and, like, his granddaughter that's mentioned later. I was like, no, don't die. No.
You learn more things about the world that Suzanne Collins has kind of built rather than, you know, just Katniss and her life, which is a – it kind of – they work together. It's good to watch the movies as well as read the books.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to bring up was, how do you think it just syncs up with the series as a whole? I mean, the ending.
Well, Mockingjay has never been the strongest part of the series. It's never been my favorite. I always liked The Hunger Games first, and then Catching Fire, and then Mockingjay.
Yeah.
mainly because of the disappointing way it ends. You know, there's so much depression at the end of the show. You see, you know, Prim dies, you know, President Snow doesn't get his justice. President Coin is actually evil and tries to take over the world. You know, you have Finnick dying and
all the people,
the characters you came attached to, and
spoilers
fire.
For everyone.
Sorry,
everybody dies.
I'm assuming all of our viewers have seen the movies.
The thing about me is, I don't care about spoilers. I gather spoilers to tell them to other people. But spoilers, everyone. Everybody you care about, everybody you know, everybody you love dies, except for Katniss's mom. Katniss, and then PETA nearly dies half a dozen times, so...
Well, he dies nearly half a dozen times in the first book alone.
Okay, good point.
I mean, I've always kind of rooted for PETA to get Katniss at the end, so when I read...
Really?
When I first read that Katniss and PETA got married and they had kids, I was like, yay! But, you know...
The ending. The ending just... I mean, in the book, it was odd enough.
It's never resolved very masterfully. It's never resolved well.
But just in the movie, it was just too surreal. It was too sort of utopian-like. And I didn't like it at all. I mean, it was accurate. It portrayed what was in the book. But I just don't think Katniss would sit down and play the housewife.
Well, I mean, she did, you know, participate in a war after participating in a gladiatorial-esque games.
Yeah.
I think it'd be, you know, nice to not have to worry about killing people for a while.
I mean, don't you think she'd want to take some part in helping run the government?
She was part of the board that decided to kill the capital. She's always, children. You know, wanting peace. She wants to take care of Prim. She wants to live her own life, and the reason she's so rebellious is because the capital is so oppressive.
Yeah. Oof. Something I do. It may just be my sick and twisted side, but I want to see the Capital Kids Hunger Games. I don't know. I just want that.
You and half the council, the majority of the council at the end. Yeah.
But like somebody make like an offshoot series. Or something that would be amazing.
I actually saw a short about Haymitch's Hunger Games on YouTube. It's really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was a YouTube short. It was the second quarter quell was what it was.
Yeah.
It was filmed in 2011, so it's a little bit old. But I found it to be pretty accurate too. Yeah. The kind of book's portrayal of the Hunger Games, and I thought it was a really neat, neat thing.
Mm-hmm. They just need to release more videos. I mean, just people on YouTube or whatever of actual Hunger Games, because it's some of them
are
sure about
that.
Well, I mean, like what you said, people doing skits of games that are well laid out. Because there's other games that are mentioned a lot in the books. Where we know the details on them, but also just...
I think a simple Google search would probably yield a ton of results.
Yeah. But even just a short spin-off series that some movie producer made, kind of like the Capital Hunger Games doing that, it's just... The depth of the world is what I really want. And that's what I found in the movie, which is why I think...
Yeah, the world building was spectacular.
Oh,
the movie did a great job of that. I also really love the cinematography. Like, all the CGI the train and the hovercrafts and all the establishing shots of the Capitol and the different districts.
It was all really believable, is the thing.
And the peacekeepers looked awesome. I love the costuming.
Oh, yeah.
The design of the sets and the costumes in the movies were really good.
Oh, the costuming for the cat lady.
That was perfect.
That was...
What's her name again?
No idea, but that just sent me into the uncanny valley. It was... Ugh. It was weird. It was fantastic. Whoever did that was great. But something that I saw this on a YouTube video probably a few days ago, but it was about serious mishapen body modifications, and there was somebody who was doing that. Basically the same thing as the cat lady, and the whiskers that were coming out of her cheek was the same thing. And I put the video down. I couldn't finish it. Oh gosh. Anyway, rabbit trails aside. I really think it's one of the few book series, aside from, like, The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, that really does match up to, like, the movies match up to the books.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was very close.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of stuff that was missed, obviously, especially in the first movie. I noticed there were a lot of things like the story of the goat.
Yeah, yeah.
But, of course, I mean, again, you can only fit so much into a movie. I know people hear that a lot, even when they're pissed off about, you know, books not being, you know, portrayed accurately in movies.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, again, is also in Katniss's mind. And when you change a narrative perspective from first person to third person, you're always going to have a little bit of loss of content there. But they made up for it well by, you know, seeing scenes inside the Capitol, seeing what the game makers were saying, and how the games were being controlled from the outside, and seeing President Snow and what he wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, especially, I especially love the game makers' room. Mm-hmm. That was just, I was like, oh, finally, you see what it's like.
And then we had, what's his name? Caesar Flickerman.
We had
him narrating all the Hunger Games. I thought that was kind of neat way of kind of immersing yourself in the world, you know. Because it was like you were watching the Hunger Games on TV as if you were in, you know, District 12 or District 5 or whatever.
Because
there was a commentator who was, you know, commenting colorfully, as you would expect, you know, someone on a football game or, you know, the Olympics.
First time I saw him walk out on stage, this was in the movie theater, packed movie theater. There's probably a few people standing that snuck in. But I just burst out laughing.
Oh, my God.
Because he was so good. Oh, man, what's that actor's name? Oh, man. He was in, like, Devil Wears Prada, which is another good movie. But and another, speaking of good actors, and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That's not Caesar Flickerman.
I know, no, but while we're on this subject.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah, drugs. They're terrible. Don't do them.
Don't do them. But when I saw him, I was just like, oh, man.
He was an incredible actor.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen him? Have you seen Twisters? Bit of an older movie, but
Twisters. No,
or no, it's Twister singular.
No, I haven't.
But it's one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's, like, really early hit movies, and he wasn't the main character; he was a minor character. But it was fantastic.
Yeah, my parents saw that. I actually went to Universal Studios this summer, and we went to the Twister kind of exhibit. And it showed us kind of how Twister was made. And they actually did a demonstration. You, like, walked. And it felt like you were outside. And it felt, like, hot. And, you know, and then the rain started hitting you. And it got colder. And the wind picked up. And, like, trees started knocking over. And everything, like, you were, like, soaked with water. But it was actually all inside. It was all a simulation.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah. Like, there was a truck that got, like, dragged along the ground and crashed into a fire hydrant, which then blew up.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Where was this, you said?
Universal Studios in
I haven't been there. I haven't been there.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a lot of places.
Not the one in California. It's the one in Florida.
Okay.
In Orlando.
It's, oh, man, it's on the bucket list. There's so many places I want to visit. It's horrible. Hogsmeade. No, that's not Disney. But, like, Hogwarts and Hogsmeade and all that stuff. Oh, man. Anyway, that was a tangent. Just to wrap it up, I guess, how many stars would you give it, I guess, out of 10?
Hunger Games?
Maybe 15.
10 out of 10 stars would be...
10 of 10?
No. No, I'd probably give it like a...
Let's go 15.
Like a 6 or 15. 7.
What out of 15? 15 stars.
Oh, out of 15.
Let's try that.
I'd probably give it maybe a 9.
Really? Really?
It was great, but it wasn't... I never felt super engaged beyond the first movie.
Personally,
I never, I mean, it never drew me in as much as other films did. Like The Martian, I saw that the other week.
I still haven't seen it.
Super good movie.
I know.
You can tell when a movie has high production value, and The Hunger Games certainly had a big budget and high production value, but you never felt super empathetic towards any of the characters for any length of time. I mean, unless you were an avid fan of the books.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, this part happens next, and oh, let's see if they stick faithfully to the books here. It's really all kind of bland.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would give it an 11 just because of the amazing production value and everything else. I would give it an 11 just because of the production value and everything else like that.
So if you give
I have to agree. It was a little dull.
Yeah.
I mean, Jennifer Lawrence, not the best actor. Good at parts.
She's actually an incredible actress.
Really?
Did you see Silver Linings Playbook?
No. Very I know good. She's she, in American she won a, Hustle. In Winter's
she won
Moon.
An Academy Award for that.
Oh, yes, right. Man. But I just, parts felt like, I know Katniss is supposed to be a distant character, and I get that. But there was just parts where it felt like it wasn't so much a character choice as just she might have been bored. I don't know.
She picked emotions rather than motivations for her actor.
But and she picked there were a lot of great moments, like when she goes back to the house at the end of the movie and the cat's there. That was a powerful moment for me. But other parts where she's just sitting there hunting something. I was a door slammed. Anyway, and she's just hunting something, and it's just dull.
Yeah.
It's just quiet. So, I mean, that was the only thing that really brought
it down. Well, even in powerful scenes, like the one with the house, I didn't feel too much. I was like, wow, Jennifer Lawrence is a really good actress. She can pretend to be really angry and summon fake tears on demand. Imagine the amount of control that animal must have had, like what kind of trainers were on set at that point, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel anything for her. I was like, great. Awesome. Yeah. Sorry,
I mean, we honestly didn't see enough of Prim to warrant feeling sad for her death.
Well, there wasn't enough of Prim, and the parts we did see of Prim were very annoying. I didn't like Prim in the first movie, and then from then on, it was like,
tuck your tail, little duck. I hate that part.
You like her more in the books.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, a lot. It's just, some characters didn't get enough. Some characters got too much.
Like Gale.
Yeah.
You barely ever see Gale in the books. And then,
in the movies, he's just like poster child for the love triangle.
Of course, this is all my perspective, like, of having read the books, like, 3 years ago, back when The Hunger Games first came out.
I probably last read it maybe two.
I finished them all in about a week, too. It was, like,
I didn't remember. I read it, like, probably 8 or 9 times. Same with Harry Potter. It's just, I couldn't put stuff down. It was good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Up.
But if you wouldn't mind coming back at another point, that'd be wonderful.
I'd love that.
All right. I would love it too. Thank you so much.
See ya. Bye.
All right. Goodbye. This has been Austin Ross. Gonna be me rambling to fill up a little bit of the episode. I just woke up, kind of rolled out of bed, turned on my laptop and hit record. I have to talk about something nerdy. Wonderful. I'm excited for the Warcraft movie. Oh, it's gonna be great. I haven't played any of the World of Warcraft, but I've delved a little bit into the lore, and it looks to be pretty good. I've watched a lot of reactions and sort of analysis of the movie as well, and the general consensus by a lot of the community is that, unlike Elder Scrolls Online, it won't be rewriting any lore or contradicting too much, because it's based off of an actual historical event in the series, which was when the orcs went through the portal thing. I don't know too much, but I know that the orcs went through a portal from their sort of planet dimension and then ended up where the human, in the area, the dimension where the human races are. So, I don't really know anybody who plays World of Warcraft either, except for people who put it down years ago, but I might be able to convince them to, so we can all go see it. I just like seeing movies with other people, not by myself. Oh, I need to catch up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, man. I feel like this is just gonna turn into a audio vlog of my life. Just gonna be like, I get home from my job at like 7 or 8 and I turn on the recording and I'm like, guys, oh man, I met a girl today. She was like super hot and we only exchanged like 3 sentences, but oh man. And like, you know, it's just gonna devolve into that. But no, we're gonna stay on track here. We're totally gonna stay on track. Already we're not staying on track. This is wonderful, isn't it? I have so many ideas, so many features that I want to implement. I already have, like, movie reviews, so, in the Christmas special, there's going to be something for Krampus. Me and a friend are probably going to go see that within a week and then review it. It's not going to be Austin, who I did the Hunger Games review with, which you would have just heard at this point in the podcast. Sorry. But, and then there's some other things. I am thinking about me and a few friends. We play Dungeons & Dragons. Very archaic game. One of the first nerdy things that ever happened to the world. But me and a relatively large group of like five other guys. Five total. We're going to be getting together at some point to play D&D, and I might just record it. Not video, just audio, because you only really need audio, I found. And then I'm going to play it. We'll record it, put it up here, probably split it into multiple parts, because games tend to take forever.
Well, that'll be fun, of course. Oh, man.
If there's anything you guys want to see, you can always email me. Probably gonna put my email in the description, but it's leagueoftheslayer @gmail.com. And you just email me there with any questions or comments. I check that every day, multiple times a day, because believe it or not, I get a lot of emails about other stuff. So, I was going to say something. Again, questions, comments. If you just want to send anything in. Like, one thing in that I'm going to do is I'm going to have, not necessarily Q&A, but if you have any questions, and you want them read out on the podcast, then I will. If you don't specify, I'm going to read it anyway, but if you don't want me to read it, then say, don't read this on the podcast because XYZ reason, but just send in your questions, send in your comments, send in your theories or ideas or whatever, and I'll see if I can address them on the show. So, it's always that to look forward to. A good thing, My contact friend, who is a huge Legend of Zelda nerd, he's agreed to write up a segment, and then he'll be recording himself doing the segment, and it's going to be on Legend of Zelda lore. So if you happen to like Legend of Zelda lore, there you go. That's always something to look forward to.
I feel like I'm just repeating myself. I should probably get some coffee or something.
In any case, let me know on the quality of how this is. I haven't listened to many podcasts, probably about 5, maybe 6 different sort of genres to get a general idea of kind of how it all sounds, and I think I'm matching that pretty good. It's not just all one big segment, you know, I got transition music here and there, and bits like that. So, that'll be good. So let me know what you think of our content thus far, and just what's going on. Pretty diversified as far as games go. I started off with, I think it was Turok for the Nintendo 64. I was probably 5 and Turok. And then several years later we got a GameCube and I was decently good at Smash on that. And then finally, we had a friend who would come over a lot because he lived same neighborhood, like 2-3 blocks away. And he'd bring his Xbox over to our house because we had like an official sort of gaming lounge area, man cave is what we called it. And Halo 2 multiplayer. I never got that good. Halo 2 multiplayer. I don't know why. I played it a lot, but I just never improved. But the campaign, oh, I was a beast at the campaign. And from there, it all just kind of shot off. We got our own Xbox, the original console, and, you know, Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2, a few other games that I can't remember. There's some racing game that I didn't play. I'm not good at racing games at all. And then, after that, we got a 360, and I got Halo Reach. And that's when my gaming life took off. Self-proclaimed, 2 favorite games in the entire series is probably Halo Reach, Halo 4, no, Halo 3, no, Halo Reach, Halo 2, and then Halo Wars. I love Halo Wars. I'm amazing strategy gamer. Pretty much self-proclaimed, but I've challenged other people and they've lost. But I'm also good at Civ, SimCity, anything just like management and building things. Any sort of game like that, strategy. I'm good. Really good. Decent enough at first persons. Oh, Call of Duty. Call of Duty Big Red 1, that was another game that we had for the original Xbox, and that was good. That was good stuff. That's when Black Ops games weren't just cut and paste, different storyline and everything. Yeah, because isn't, like, the ending for Call of Duty Ghosts, and then, like, I think it's either Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops 2, it's the same thing, basically. It's just like different scenery, different time of day, and different character models, but it's the same thing, like in sync. They just like copy pasted. It's ridiculous. Anyway, but the old Call of Duty games were great. That aside, what else am I good at? Let me just pull up Steam. I will rattle off some of my games. If it'll load. But, yeah, I start off with Halo, and then... Yeah, Morrowind for the original console. That was another game that I sucked at, actually. I sucked at it horribly. But I was addicted to it. I just run around killing things, rarely completing a quest. I have to steal gold from the temples and everything. But what happened was the music for it just... Oh, it stuck in my head so much, the theme. And for years, literal years, it would run through my head, and this is after I played it. It'd run through my head, and I'd have no idea what it meant. Not what it meant, but where it was from. No idea where it was from. It'd run through my head, and I'd hum it, and my family would be like, "Where's that from?" And I'm like, "I have no idea." And then I... heard the Skyrim theme. This was probably 2012. I got out of gaming for a while. Except for Halo Reach. And then I heard the Skyrim theme, and when it came to the chorus, Nul's Ansul, Fentolok, I heard it and I was like, what is this? What is this? So I went and I got on YouTube, and I searched around, and I found the trailer for Morrowind that was at E3, and I watched it, and I was like, my eyes were welling up, because I was like, oh, I missed you so much. So much, my lovely. I'm not even kidding. It was big moment. So, we got Skyrim, and I didn't really play it until 2 years ago. And then I powered through all of the content. This includes the DLCs. In probably a summer... I mean, I'd stay up till 5 in the morning, wake up at 8, and feel refreshed, because I'd gone to bed completely satisfied with my day, because I'd killed half a dozen dragons and then completed thousands of quests. But, I was going to say something. It's right, about a year ago, I got Morrowind again. Game of the Year edition, absolutely fantastic. It was a little buggy, but then I got that fixed, and, I love Blood Moon. Like, Tribunal, not so much, but Blood Moon is good. Oh, man, it's so good. I don't know why, but it's just, like, it's my link. Soulseam in general is just really... It's a strange place, because it swapped hands. I mean, in Skyrim, half of it is literally Nordic, the other half is Morrowind. And it's, well, the entire thing of Morrowind, but it's just the sceneries. I don't know why, it just harkens back, and it combines Skyrim and Morrowind, which are the two best games, in my opinion. Morrowind, then Skyrim. Oblivion was good. It's fantastic, but, you know, not as good. But it's just, I don't know why, I love it. I really, really like it. Love Soulseam. Great place. If I had to get a retirement home, okay, it'd be Battlehorn Castle in Cyrodiil. I'd have like a shack on Soulseam that I'd visit occasionally, because it's good. It's brutal, though. The Dragonborn DLC, and Blood Moon, too. Brutal. Everything will try to kill you, and everything will succeed in killing you at least 5 times within an hour. It's bad. So, oh man. So I'll probably be doing a lot of podcasts, and I don't know how this will make me money, except for PayPal donations, which I probably won't do for a while unless I'm really desperate. Trying to figure out where I'm going with this. In any case, podcasts are just easier for me to make and put out than YouTube videos. Because I have to sit down, I have to tell everyone, okay, I'm going to play a video game, I'm going to record it, and just everyone be quiet. And they rarely are. But with podcasts, just whenever I get a chance, I can, you know, it doesn't take that much. I can just talk into a mic and that's it. I don't have to be really attentive. I can check things such as emails and texts, which I'm doing because
it's morning and I have a lot of those. So my friends like to text late at night on group chats and it's annoying.
Oh, sorry guys if you're listening to this, but you know, it is really annoying. So, yeah. I don't know if this will... I said in the little intro that I put at the beginning that I'm going to try to get my friend in here and we're going to ramble about whatever, but I don't know if that's going to be feasible, to be honest. I haven't been able to contact him yet, and... I mean, I'm already at about 40 minutes of content, so it's a pretty long podcast. So I'm actually going to stop it here, since I should probably get on with my day.
But yeah, thank you all for listening.
And I'll see you next time for the Christmas special. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to leagueoftheslayer@gmail.com or comments on my YouTube channel. I'm going to be checking my email and the comment section fairly regularly, so by the next podcast I'll be able to read out any of your questions or email you back and respond before the next episode. So you can be sure that if you email me or leave a comment... Email is better for questions. Comment is just a comment. But if you email me, I will be able to get to that pretty quickly. So, without further ado, thank you all for listening to the podcast. If you got to the end, congrats. You probably have brain damage from listening to me so much. So, I will leave you all here, and I'll see you next time with the Christmas special and the good, fun stuff that we're going to do for that. Thank you.